thank you, Lord. You are worthy of our praise. Whatever comes or whatever happens, you are still Lord, you are still sovereign, you are still in control, you are still worthy to be praised.
Amen.
I thank you. I thank you that Priscilla was able to say that earlier today. You are still God, you are still worthy to be praised. And thank you for all that you have done. You have poured out your blessings upon us. And there's things we don't understand, but we put our trust in you.
That's right. In
Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
It is a difficult season for us, and that's kind of an understatement. All you have to do is look at our website and go back through the prayer requests. And I've got them going back to around 2010 or so on the new website. And you can go back to the forum and see the rest of them. I'm trying to get them all brought over so they're all in one place. But you can follow that through and you can see that this is just the latest among many challenges that we've had as a body.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it's because of who we are. Part of it is just because we live in the world that we live in.
It's true.
You know, it was bad enough when we heard about Tim and what happened with him. We all grieved and stood together to pray for him and see him through. And then to lose our pastor that way was kind of a shock to everyone.
Yeah.
I was with the Pops when they saw him on Sunday. I'd seen him on Saturday. We saw him on Sunday night. And he was like, "They're going to fix this tomorrow and I'm going to go home." Like Priscilla said, he went home just out to what he was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
I may say all of this next week, but I will say a little bit of it now. One of the things that I appreciated most about Pastor David was the compassion that he had
mm-hmm.
for the people, the compassion that he had for the church.
Amen.
It's something that I wanted to spend more time with him. I wanted to learn from him how to love people that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to learn, but I don't feel like I've got it down like he did. He was a man of true compassion. He had the qualities that a pastor really needs. There are lots of people that can get up here and talk out of what they think the Bible says. There are a lot fewer people who can love the people like the pastor ought to love.
Amen.
And that's what I appreciated most about Pastor David. We might be asking ourselves at this point, can we go on? How long can we go on? How many more people can we lose? Lord, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
I have an answer for you today. That answer is absolutely yes.
Amen.
We will go on. The vision that God gave to David's father is still alive today. And I will submit to you that not only is that vision still alive, it can be even greater than it has been. We've done some wonderful things here. Things that we can be proud of, but that sort of makes me uncomfortable, as we didn't do anything without God's help.
That's right.
His hand is all through everything that has happened here in this place. But we're great at bringing people in. We're great at meeting needs to the extent that we can meet them. And, you know, Linda and I have only been here for a small part of this church's history. And I know that a lot of things were happening before our time that even by the time we got here, it had dwindled somewhat because the congregation was getting smaller. People were going on to be with Jesus and moving on to other things. But what we have seen is that we're great about bringing people in. But what I want us to be great at, I want us to take that vision one step further. I want us to be sending people out.
Amen.
I want us to be living that vision that says you are valuable to God. You have a purpose. He not only loves you and wants you in His family, He wants you to be an active part of His family. Regardless of what your challenge is, regardless of what your disability is, regardless of the obstacles that you see in your way, your God is bigger than those obstacles, and He has a plan for your life.
That's right. Amen.
And He wants you to succeed. And He wants you to be a part of bringing even more people into His family. I've spoken in terms of they, but I want us to transmit it. They is us. We are the people.
Mm-hmm.
We are the people. We need to find that vision. And we need to spread it.
Right.
This church has a mission that I believe to be ordained by God.
Amen.
And God has not changed His mind. But we got work to do. In the Bible study that I'm part of on Thursday mornings, we're studying the book of Nehemiah. And as I was sitting in that Bible study this last Thursday morning, and thinking about Nehemiah and the things that he was commissioned to do and the things that he did in the process of rebuilding Jerusalem, and people even were saying to me as I had shared with them what was going on in our body, this is your message. And yeah, it is. It is our message. It is the message.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that more people were here today, but I trust that God has who He wants to be here.
Right.
I'm going to give you a little, we're not going to read a whole lot, because it's a big book. But I'm going to tell you just a little bit about Nehemiah. Nehemiah was in the king of Persia's court, King Artaxerxes. He was the cupbearer. Now, this was actually a position of some responsibility in the court. Somebody who was close to the king, it was the cupbearer's responsibility to make sure that the king didn't get poisoned.
Right.
So it was somebody that the king would want to be trustworthy.
Right.
But Nehemiah learns from his brothers about the state of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, some 70 years before, I think I'm getting that right, I didn't check the number, had been destroyed by the king of Babylon. And it had been burned to the ground. But Nehemiah is hearing this. Presumably he knows something of the story, because he goes immediately and he fasts and he prays. And the first thing he does is acknowledge that God was righteous to judge Jerusalem and Israel for what they had done. Now please don't hear me making a statement about it, okay? This is just the background. But the city had been destroyed in response to the sin and the way that they had turned away to God, from God into idols. But he also recalls God's promise that He would bring them back when they repent. And so he prays this prayer of repentance and a prayer for restoration. Then some days later, he appears before the king. The king notices that he is in distress. And Nehemiah says, I was afraid. Well, why would he be afraid? Well, for one thing, he didn't want to be sad in the king's presence. You know, everybody's expected to be upbeat. And, oh, you know, this is the greatest thing. I'm serving the greatest king ever, right? It was not a good thing to be noticed for sadness in the presence of the king. But not only that, what Nehemiah is about to ask for, now that he's been confronted, has already been denied by the king. And Nehemiah is the second part of the story that begins in Ezra. The temple was commissioned. The rebuilding of the temple at Jerusalem was commissioned by King Cyrus, who was the king before Artaxerxes came into the picture. But there was opposition. And they wrote to the king and they said, hey, you know, if you let these people rebuild, this has been a city that has been rebellious in the past, and you're going to end up losing this whole province, and they're not going to pay taxes. So, you know, being interested in such things and being the king, Artaxerxes said, okay, it's time. So Nehemiah has reason to be fearful now, because what he's about to ask for is for the king to rescind this order and allow them to rebuild this city that's supposedly a rebellious city.
Right.
But God moved the heart of the king, and the king grants him everything that he asked for. He gives him the authority, writes letters for him, gives him, not only that, he gives him provision to make the journey. So Micah, I've been doing that all weekend. Every time I try to go say his name, I say Micah instead of Nehemiah. Micah's another prophet. This is Nehemiah. Nehemiah goes to Jerusalem. He's expecting, he's inspecting the damage. He does it secretly because he's expecting opposition. Opposition is what stopped the work in the first place. So he knows there's going to be trouble.
Right.
But he goes and inspects the wall, sees the state of things, and then he calls on the people. And he shares with them what the king has told him, and they respond, and they begin to do the work. And they begin to build. And they do get opposition. It starts out with just taunts and ridicule. One of the people said, oh, that wall, that silly wall they're building, if a fox shows up on it, it's going to fall down. But Nehemiah responds with confidence because he knows where his authority comes from. And then the people there in the area plan to attack them and destroy the work that they've done thus far. So half the people stand with their sword, and half the people work. And they defend their work. And it all gets accomplished. And they rebuild the city, they rebuild the gates. And then they begin to reinstitute God's law. And you see here the return that God promised being fulfilled. But you also see something that is going to become apparent, going to become important as you read through the New Testament. You also see the birth of legalism. When you read through some of the things that happened in the later chapters, we're not going to go over today, but look at that with a historical view, and then look how the Pharisees responded. And you can see it birthed right here. And they overdo it. They're not going to be judged again, so they get a little bit too far into the making sure that they keep every law, so they get end up 600 more. Because we got to make sure that God can never judge us for breaking the law again. And miss the point.
Mm-hmm.
It starts right there. But what we're going to focus on today is the commission. Reading from chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Then I said to them, you see the bad situation we're in, that Jerusalem is desolate, and its gates burning with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we will no longer be a reproach. I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me, and also about the king's word which he had spoken to me. Then they said, let us arise and build. So they put their hands to the good work.
Amen.
Amen.
Notice something about Nehemiah's little speech here, which we're not really given a lot. But notice who comes first. He didn't say, I told him first. He did tell him about the king, but he told him first, the hand of my God is favorable on me. See, he understood something. He understood that God was the one who put the right man in the right place to receive that message. That God was the one who moved the king to grant Nehemiah the favor that he needed to make it happen. You know, when he spoke up to the king and told him why it was that he was sad, the king could have been angry. The king could have dismissed him right then, literally, for looking at him wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He could have even possibly had Nehemiah executed as a traitor for asking to have this rebellious city rebuilt. But God granted him the favor. And so he says, and oh, by the way, the king gave me permission. And not only that, he commanded that the provision be made. Here's the letters. What's the point of all this? This is God's plan. He's the one who saw it through. He's the one. And because they knew that, because Nehemiah and the people with him knew that, that knowledge gave them the confidence to rebuild and complete the work, even despite the opposition that they were going to face. I want to ask you something today. Do you believe that this church is God's provision? Do you believe that this church is God's commission?
Yeah.
Look what he's already done. The vision in the first place, at the time that this church was first birthed, it was unique. I believe it's still unique. There are a lot of ministries out there that deal with children. And praise God, we have more children that need help than ever before, it seems. And praise God that there are ministries out there that are doing that.
Mm-hmm.
We have ministries that are more specific to mentally handicapped. We've done some of that here, but it's not been our primary focus. Praise God, we need that.
Yes.
But what we do here is unique. I don't know of anybody else in this area that does it. Very few around the country that have made it their goal. Look at this building we're in. Nobody would have expected. I don't know how big this church was at its largest point. I know it's been larger than it is today. But no one would have ever expected this to be possible.
No.
But God knew.
Yes, it did.
It's accessible. It's an old building, but it's got ramps. It's got bathrooms we can use if we're in wheelchairs.
Amen.
We need to make some adjustments to it. It's still not quite ready for prime time. We've even got a baptistry that we can take people that have to use wheelchairs and get them baptized. That is awesome to me.
That
was like the one missing thing that we didn't have. Now we got it.
Amen.
And this van we got out here, well, it's not out here today. This van that we usually have out here. The latest and greatest thing, practically, as far as transportation goes, with the lift and the size that we have.
Amen.
And I understand that it wasn't the first time God provided in big and small ways for this church to have that ability to transport
right.
And bring people.
That's right. Amen.
You know, this overhead over here was given to us by Joel and Dana from Summit. Seems like a small thing, but you know what it did? By now the materials having to be prepared ahead of time so that they can be put up there, that allowed me to do something that I have yearned for a church to do for me all my life and nobody ever did it.
Amen.
And actually provide materials for people who can't see to actually be able to follow along and have the same thing that everybody else has in the service.
Amen.
I believe that I have also seen, in the time that we've been here, some spiritual things, some spiritual health things that have come about that put us in a better place so that we can go forward. I'm so thankful for that. You know, about the only thing we don't do is death ministry. Who knows? God may provide that before we're done.
Mm-hmm.
With all of this evidence behind us, we can proceed with confidence. We have the King's authority, and not just any King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
We have the King's provision. Look at it. It's all around us. So let's get to work. We will face opposition. We already have. The opposition has come in the form of division. It's come in the form of issues that we had to deal with, and we'll continue to deal with that because we're always people and we're always going to have issues. But we may face even more. We may face discouragement, saying, oh, what do you think you're doing? What do you mean you think disabled people can serve in ministry? Come on, man. What do you think? What are you thinking?
Mm-hmm.
We get that kind of discouragement, I think, already. If it's not being said, it's being thought, I guarantee you. But we know. We have a mandate from God.
Amen.
To see that all of His children have a place. To see that all of His children have a mission.
Amen.
We can all be a part of His work that He's doing. We may face greater opposition. I can't imagine anybody objecting to a church that tries to meet the needs of people with disabilities, but I'll tell you something. As long as we stand for the truth, there will be those who stand against us.
That's right.
And we must stand firm.
Yes.
All this year, for at least the past year, not imagining that we would find ourselves in this position today, Linda's been speaking about legacy.
Mm-hmm.
About what kind of legacy will we leave after, as we are now in our 60th year. We couldn't have known what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe, absolutely believe, that it is God's will that we keep that legacy alive and thriving.
Yeah.
And I want all of us today to put our hands to that wall and build something great for the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are with us, that you have given us this wonderful opportunity. It is an honor and a privilege to serve you. It's not that you need us. You are almighty, powerful, creator God. But because you made us, because you love us, because you made us like you, because we need to be involved in the things that you're involved in order to be at one with you, at one with your heart, you give us these opportunities and you give us this honor to work in concert with the creator of the universe and his plans to bring as many people into the kingdom as will come. Let us move forward in that mission, Lord. Show us, give us the wisdom to make the right choices. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.